shouts like, we praise you, we praise you. And this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you.
Come on, sing it out, church.
Fall, we'll watch the giants fall. For fear. above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save, is worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside.
you greet them, and you can turn your attention to the screens.
Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad to have you here with us. Our new semester of life groups kicks off this week. After the service today, join us downstairs for our life group expo. You'll have the chance to meet with our life group leaders and find the right life group for you. We believe that life groups are a great way to grow in your relationship with Jesus and grow in your relationship with others. This Friday night, we have our all-church worship and prayer service. If HTC is your home church and you love to worship Jesus and understand the power of prayer in every season, we can't wait to see you at our Fire in the Night worship and prayer service this Friday, September 17th, starting at 7 p.m. If you want to know more about what's happening in the life of our church, meet with our team at the Connect Desk after the service. We love you, church, and hope you have a great week.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back from the summer. Welcome home to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad to see you this morning. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us in worship today? I don't know. The presence of the Lord is just beautiful. And we're glad you're here to enjoy it with us. Want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online at this 10:30 a.m. worship service. We're so glad that we're connected today by God's Spirit. And thankful for technology that allows us to worship together across the distance this morning. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving. And we want to thank you for your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. Moses wrote in the book of Deuteronomy, "Don't be hard-hearted nor tight-fisted, but be open-handed and freely give." Listen to this. Give generously and do so without a grudging heart because of this. I want you to say that with me. Because of this. Say it again. Because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all of your work and in everything you put your hand to. How many of you would like to be blessed in everything you put your hand to? You know, the key is to honor the Lord with our giving. You can use the offering envelope today to give your tithes and to give your missions giving. You can use the envelope to give by credit card or debit card. If you're giving by cash and you want credit for that, you can slip your cash inside the envelope and write your information on the outside, or slip your check inside the offering envelope. Because of social distancing, we are not going to pass an offering plate through the sanctuary today. We do have offering boxes at all the entrances and exits. And if you did bring an offering with you to the sanctuary this morning, you can drop it in one of those boxes as you leave today. For those of you worshiping with us online, and for everyone, you can make a gift to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link at the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure donation online to our church. Life Group Expo, as soon as this service is over, we hope that you will go downstairs. We have over 30 life groups that are kicking off this coming week. We have groups for everybody. We have groups for men, groups for women, groups for couples, groups for singles. My wife and I are hosting young adult dinner party. That is for young adults in their 20s. It's at our house just down the street. We start this coming Tuesday evening. We have somebody heard we're having a taco truck. Uncle Sal heard we're having a taco truck, said he was coming. So if you have to ask if you're a young adult in your 20s, you're not a young adult in your 20s. If you're a young adult in your 20s, you know you are. And you're super welcome just down the street at our house this Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can sign up for that downstairs. Wednesdays, Pastor Nick is going to be teaching Harvest Time University. The first course is called Life in the Spirit. We have over 60 people already that are going to be part of that class. My wife Denise is going to lead a life group for ladies on Wednesday evenings. I'm going to be leading a life group for men. We're going to be looking at a book together by Patrick Morley called The Christian Man. And so we'd love for you to join us. And there's lots of groups for everybody. So we hope that you'll just come and be a part of that. We know that the first service are greedy people, so we held back some of those amazing donuts that we served downstairs so that there was enough for you after this service. So there's coffee and tea and donuts. Don't tell the first service I called them greedy, all right? Just keep that between us. But you can go downstairs and get some donuts. We would love for you to do that. Fire in the Night. This coming Friday evening, our emphasis is going to be on praying for our kids and for all of our teachers, all of our administrators, everybody who's involved in education. How many of you know God gave supernatural ability to Daniel and to his three Hebrew friends, and he caused them to be the cream of the crop in a pagan society? And that's what we pray all the time. Listen, I want you to know we have been praying for decades for full free ride scholarships for our kids to the best colleges, and I want you to know they get them. And so we're going to be blessing our kids, praying over them, and we hope you'll be part of Fire in the Night this Friday evening at 7 o'clock. We are incredibly blessed to have our very dear friends, Pastor Raymond and Lee Ming Mui, with us from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Pastor Raymond and Lee Ming are the founding pastors of his church in Kuala Lumpur, and they are the founders of the School of Acts, which is a very special ministry training program. They bring students from all across Southeast Asia, from countries, many of them that are closed to the gospel, or very resistant to the gospel. Their governments are communist, their governments are Muslim, or Buddhist, or Hindu, and proselytizing is against the law in many of these countries. They bring them to Kuala Lumpur for 6 months of ministry training, intense training. They pour into the students and then send them out to the harvest field. And I want to tell you that School of Acts graduates are winning people to Christ all around the globe, doing amazing things. Pastor Raymond is also the leader of Acts Global Network, and they do evangelism crusades, 10, 20, 30,000 people or more, where there are healing miracles and lead people to Christ all over the world. They have been shut down completely for 2 years. The School of Acts was totally closed for all of 2020. It's been closed for all of 2021. And how many of you know when you run a school and it's shut for 2 years, that's a devastating event? But by the grace of God, they're going to be open next year. And at the end of the service today, we're going to have an opportunity to sow into the next class of the School of Acts. I know you're all comfy in your seats, but would you stand on your feet and would you give your very best welcome to our dear friend, Pastor Raymond Mui.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Glenn, for the wonderful welcome. And thank you, everybody, for this welcome. You may be seated. God bless you. It is a special blessing for us and a miracle of God that we can come over here. And this, I always say that it's the best place to be at whenever we come to America. It is a miracle of God. We have been shut down, like Pastor Glenn says, since the early part of 2020. And thank God that I was able in February of last year to go to New Delhi, India, and with our mutual friend, Pastor Solomon. We did an incredible event of the 3 nights of miracle rallies in the indoor stadium and saw so many thousands of souls saved every night. And then the next month, the lockdown began in Malaysia, and it's very tight. We have roadblocks everywhere, and we're not even allowed to leave more than 10 kilometers away from our home, and all kinds of different things. And for us to come here today, we have to ask special permission, written permission from our government that we could leave the country. So what a time it is, very unusual times that we are in. And through all of these times, there is some very clear situations that we have gone through that kind of can get embedded in us and shift something in our hearts. And I believe that God wants to speak to us this morning. Would you turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, the last chapter, 2 Corinthians, and it is in chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and the last verse, verse 14. I know that this verse is very familiar to us. We have these words pronounced over us very often, and at the end of the service, we hear that as a benediction. And it is a very powerful verse, but yet sometimes it can lose its meaning because we become so familiar with that, or we haven't had a chance to actually study. But God wants to speak to us, first of all, from this scripture. In chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14, it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, or the love of the Father, and the communion, or the fellowship, of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen." Now, I'm not closing the service. This can't be the shortest sermon in Harvest Time Church. But it is important for us to know how significant these words are. But I want to specifically go to the last portion. First, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of our Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit. That means the koinonia. That means the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That from this verse that you see that God desires fellowship. That when you leave this place, it's never intended that you will go on your own by yourself. Because God has promised to give us the Holy Spirit and that He will no longer tabernacle in a place that is made by the hands of man, but He will live in our hearts. And so when we go from this place, we're never alone during the rest of the week, but we have the Holy Spirit of God with us. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's not an it. He's not something weird or strange or unfriendly, but the Holy Spirit is a He, God the Spirit. And God the Spirit has chosen to live in us and to go with us wherever we are. We can choose to hear the Holy Spirit. We can choose to receive from the Holy Spirit. We can choose to learn from the Holy Spirit and be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. He has chosen to live in our hearts. And God desires intimacy. He desires that we fellowship with Him. He desires that we draw close and get to know Him more as He knows everything about us. He desires for us to seek after being close to Him. That we will always learn, know more and more about the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when He was here on earth and before He walked up to Calvary's hill to die on the cross for us, Jesus started to say something that was very foreign, strange to the disciples. From the book of John chapter 13, He began to say, "I might as well tell you now that I'm going to leave you and I'm going to go to another place." And He says, "But you cannot follow Me." Now, it's very strange for them because Jesus, when He said that, Peter replied and says, "Jesus, why are you leaving? Tell us, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "I have to go, but you can't follow Me, not this time, but another time." And Peter just responded and said, "Why?" You can expect Peter to come up with a response like that, because, I mean, he wants to know why. And in chapter 14, Thomas said to Jesus, "Jesus, show us where you're going so that we can follow you and be there too." And Jesus said, "You can't come with Me." Now, it is unusual because Jesus, for more than 3 years, has been with the disciples through thick and thin. He was with them all the time. He was so close to them, He was intimate with them. And He would eat with them and sleep with them, and everywhere He goes, they are with Him, and they're together in ministry. And they have such intimacy with each other, so connected to each other, that it's so strange that Jesus suddenly will say something like that, because they thought that they will be together forever, for a long, long time. And they never thought about anything that is to do with the closure or anything to do with the separation. Because Jesus made them feel like he's part of them and they're part of him. And yet Jesus said that I have to go. But you see, because Jesus knew what was ahead, and he was the one who is the architect of this, and the fact that it shows us that God loves intimacy, he wants to be close to you and I, what was Jesus trying to say? I want you to turn with me now to the book of John. Let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I want you to see from verse 18, John 14, 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He says, I will come to you. It's another mystery if you were there when Jesus said it. Now we can see all this because it's in our Bible. But he says, I will not leave you comfortless. Or in the original Greek, it means I will not leave you as orphans. You will not be destitute. And you see, when Jesus said these things, you remember in the book of Luke chapter 22, Jesus said to them when he had them come with him and partake for the last time the Passover, and then he instituted the Lord's Supper. And it says in that verse, Jesus said with a desire, I desire to break bread with you. That means with a passionate, strong desire, I desire to have communion with you. The Bible says in James that if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. God never designed or desire for us to be far apart from him, but to be very close to him. He says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And Jesus said, I have a strong desire, passionately, that I will commune with you, that I will be close to you. And that's why Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come back to you. When we are part of the kingdom of God, we're brought into the kingdom so that we can connect to the body of Christ. The church is raised up by God, born in this world, so that we will be those who are called out of this world, will come into a kingdom where we are connected to one another. When the Bible speaks about fellowship with the Holy Spirit, speaks about being connected and not disconnected with the Holy Spirit of God. And when Jesus called his disciples, he lived his life together with them with the intention that they will be so connected to each other that there will be the abiding with each other, that there is a sticking together where we come into one. And here is Jesus saying, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I want you to read this in the two verses above 18, verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So at the same time as Jesus saying, I'm leaving you, but I'm coming and I will be with you, what he means here, he says, I'm sending you another comforter. I'm sending you another partner. I'm sending you another one. Like I walk with you, he's going to walk with you. He says, I'm sending you another. And that word another is the Greek word Elos, A-L-L-O-S. And this word Elos means another one of the same kind, of the same sort, another one, but in a different form. And no wonder Jesus said that I must go, and if I don't go, the Comforter will not come, and so therefore I must leave you quickly. See, because Jesus can see it all, how important it is that this transition will take place, because it is for our good, and it's better that He goes so that the Holy Spirit will come. You see, if a lot of people say, how wonderful, I've said it before too, how wonderful it is if I'm living in the days of Jesus, when I can walk and watch and be there every time in everything that Jesus is doing. Well, that's good, but that's not the best. The best is our time. The best is the New Testament church. Because if Jesus is alive and we are with Him now, then I'll take Him back with me to Malaysia. And you want to have Jesus here with you. Or you say, no, I will not let Him go. And then I'll go back without Jesus in Malaysia or any other part of the world, whether it's Australia, Europe, or Africa. And that's why Jesus said, I must send you another one of the same sort, of the same kind, just like me, but He's not in the form of flesh and blood, but He's in the form of Spirit. God the Spirit, so that He can be everywhere you are 24/7. He's going to live in your heart. I can't do that. And the New Testament church is blessed because of this promise of the Father that He'll send us God the Spirit, so that we can continue to have fellowship with Him. That every day when you come here on Sunday morning to meet with God and be in the presence of God, you can carry the presence of God with you throughout the week because of God the Spirit that lives in us. Fellowship. Fellowship is very important. And God wants us to always constantly seek fellowship with God. Let me turn the Bible with you now to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, you see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit came upon 120 of them that was gathered in the upper room, and they experienced the encounter of God so real, so powerful, and the tangible presence of God, the Spirit, that came upon them. But sometimes these things become the headlines, the highlights, and we miss what it is that is the main thing, because it seems like so plain. But really, the plain things are the main things. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Let's go there together right now. And I want you to look, starting in verse 41. Chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Powerful. Read 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now these are powerful things that was recorded in Scripture. The earth shook, and everything in the upper room shook, and the visitation of God the Spirit was awesome. But as a result of that, there were 3,000 that were born again on that day. That was incredible. But you see, just like Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. We got to be careful today that as engaging as we are in evangelism, preaching the gospel, sharing Christ, being a witness for Christ, when somebody prayed a sinner's prayer with you, it doesn't end there. It just begun. Why? Because God does not believe in orphans. That we should be leaving them as orphans, leaving them out in the cold and in the streets. God wants them to be connected to His body called the church. And so the adding was the adding into the church, that we have to bring them in and connect them. If they stay out there and not connect with the church, they will die. Babies cannot be left out there. When they're born again, They need nurturing. They need caring. They need cleaning up. They need to connect. And so in the early church, right up there is a pattern that God showed us, that as great the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as earth shaking, as how many people by the masses come to know Jesus Christ. He says we are called not just to save souls, but to disciple them. And therefore, we have to bring them home and connect them to the family of God so that they can grow and have a chance to survive in the harshness of this generation, that they get a chance to grow up and become strong, healthy, productive Christians. So we have to create the environment, and we have to facilitate the environment that we have built in order to bring more and more to become true followers of Jesus Christ. This headlines was great. There was fear. There was awesome honoring of God, of what all that was happening amongst the early church because of the signs and wonders and miracles. But I want to show you what is the new normal of the New Testament church. What is, as it is recorded in this same chapter, it says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then came this verse of the fear. It says in, going on in verse 46, and they continuing, here we go again, daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church. He didn't add out somewhere by the bushes and by the roadside. They were added into the church. The Lord, it is the Lord's work. It is the business of God that the moment they come into the kingdom, they're added into the family of God, connected with you. But here is the new norm, that it's no longer like before. These people that was raised up in their own culture, in their own setting. He says the new norm of the church is that they came together and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were fed the word of God. The word of God was broken up for them that they will partake of the word consistently. There is nothing that can replace the word of God. And so that's why whatever that is available in this assembly is for our nutrition. It's for our good. It's to supply what we need in order for us to mature, grow up, and be used by God. He says that they continued steadfastly. And this word continued steadfastly means uninterrupted. We've been going through a time of interruptions, detours, and disruptions. And sometimes we end up taking that on and think that this is normal now. No, it's not. You are part of the New Testament church. You got to know what is the new norm of the New Testament church. They never had any interruptions. There was no interruptions to the word. Now, evermore, they were steadfast. And that steadfastness means they held their grounds. They didn't allow anything to distract them. They would not allow anything to block them or to replace what are the new norms. And it is the word, and it is what? Fellowship. Koinonia. Fellowship. They had fellowship with one another. They broke bread with one another. They sat at the table and they ate their meals together. They had interaction. And this is what real relationships are. Relationships are intended to be active. Relationships are intended to be life-giving. These relationships that God talks about is a relationship that is ever connected with each other. And that comes in the form of communication. Communion, connecting with each other without interruptions. Today, this is the lingo, social distancing. Make sure that there's enough space between each other. While that is true, you don't have to be disconnected in the heart. Our hearts are not locked down. our hearts can connect, and we can find many ways to connect. You have so many mediums or platforms where you can connect with one another by email, by telephone calls, and so forth. You don't have to take on the teachings or the ways that has been given to you. You take on what is in Scripture. That we never allow anything to block our communion and fellowship with one another. And this, here, the Bible tells us that they did it even in restrictive times. When they were shunned and they were locked down and by people and they were cut off and rejected by the people in their time. They said, I'm not going to allow that to block our fellowship. And today we can be very busy. We're trying to reestablish ourselves. We're trying to do this and that and the other. And there may be so many different things that you can be out there and doing. But these New Testament church believers said they continue steadfastly. They will not allow anything that they are busy about to take the place of fellowship with one another. We need to connect. And the Bible tells us that this is the new norm or the new constant of the New Testament church. They came together breaking bread, remembering the Lord's death together, and realizing that it is by that we have come into one body of which Jesus is the head. He says they came together in prayer. There is a blessing that comes when we spend time to pray and go into our prayer closet and pray. But there is a different set of blessings when we come into corporate prayer, when we are bound together in a spirit of unity and in one heart with one voice and on the same thing, that we will pray together. That there is that strength that comes and there is an anointing that flows when we are together in one accord praying. And so corporate prayer, times when we get together with the brethren and pray, agreeing concerning something, God answers that prayer. We are to connect with one another. Just as the Holy Spirit, that we are fellowship and in fellowship and in communion with the Holy Spirit, we are to be in fellowship and in communion with one another. That we were to seek to draw close and come near to the Holy Spirit. That we will know Him more and more as He knows everything about us. That we too, in the same way, we are to draw near, to remove the obstacles, to remove the blockages, to remove the walls between us. That we are to build bridges and not to build walls. That we are to build bridges towards each other and reach out to one another, because we are called by God to draw close, that we will have fellowship with one another. One more, that we are to draw close, and I ask that you would turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And you read with me verse 29. Acts 8 verse 29. It says, then the Spirit came upon Philip, saying, go near and join yourself to this chariot. See, this is Philip in the midst of a great revival, when all these things were happening and thousands were added to the church, in a time when it was the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and it was an amazing things that were happening inside of the four walls of the church. God was moving powerfully. All kinds of spiritual gifts were being exercised and people were receiving. There were powerful deliverances. People got saved and people got healed and miracles was breaking forth nearly on every row. It was great to be in the house of God with the brethren. It was great that we are in fellowship one with another as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But God sends us out as Philip went out to Samaria. And there he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then the Bible here says, and the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and says, go and go near to this eunuch's chariot. And It was said that this is the eunuch, or the, in fact, he would have been the treasurer or the finance man of Ethiopia. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, draw near. Go near. Go near to them. And you see, the thing is, as much as we enjoy the house of God, the family of God, we must never forget to go near to our friends, to our family members, to our colleagues and our neighbors who do not know Jesus. The only way where we could reach them is if you go closer, if you go near to them. And look what the Bible says in the next verse. When he went near, he says in verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. He was reading from the scriptures of Isaiah and said, Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And listen to what it says. This is the voice from our world. This is the voice from the people in Greenwich. This is the voice of those that are in your neighborhood. He said, how can I understand except somebody show me? And he desired that Philip, that he would come up and be with him. How do I know? How can I know? The people out there don't know what it means by the signs of the end times and what all that's going on around them. They don't know how to interpret it according to Scripture. We do. And so Philip drew near. And the man says, how can I understand? I don't know. I don't understand what I'm reading unless somebody show me. And this is what you need to hear from the Spirit of God. People are crying out, show me something. Tell me what this is all about. Is there hope? Tell me what will happen to me. What's going to happen to my family? Why is all these things going on in our world? What's happening to America? How can I understand? Where is God? Where is God in the middle of all this? And just like the eunuch says, how can I understand unless someone show me? Who is here to show me? Who is going to come to show me? And Jesus said, you cannot just have this happy time and great time and joyous time inside of the four walls of the church. You got to go close. Go near to them. Go near to them. It may not be the exact words that they will say, but this is what they are going through, and you can show them. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray that God will help us to realize that how powerful God's principles and what He has set for the kingdom of God, how powerful it is, that is intended for us to be able to see God in our midst break forth in power and might, that He will give to you and I divine authority. It is when we realize, number one, that the Holy Spirit of God is given not just so that He can be in church and stay in church and wait for you to come, but every time you come to church, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That you bring the Spirit of God who lives in your heart with you. And when you come together, what an incredible powerhouse this will be. When we are activated by the Holy Spirit, where He anoints our praise and our worship, and He'll fill this atmosphere with the atmosphere of breakthroughs. That how powerful it is when we allow the Holy Spirit to have room to move and work in our midst, so that when the Word of God comes forth, it will be anointed, that it will penetrate our hearts, and it will be the word that is sowed on good grounds, because we come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We come under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit to obey God and have the courage to do what is right. What an anointing it will be when it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon our prayers, so that it can cut through and break through every resistance and atmosphere in the air that needs to be brought down under the feet of Jesus, because we pray anointed Holy Ghost, anointed prayers. How powerful it will be, and how incredible it will be when it is the Holy Spirit that breaks down barriers and walls between us, so that we can love one another with the love of God. that we can practice the one another's. The opposite of connecting is disconnection. How terrible it is when we are in a place where we couldn't connect or we don't want to connect. Connection is a two-way activity. It's not just somebody reaching out to you all the time. It's also about you reaching out and say, I want to be connected. I want to have fellowship. And this is the new constant, because we're part of the New Testament church. And in all that we're seeking for revival, for the power of God amongst us, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for a great time in the presence of God, God says the new constant of the church of the New Testament is consistent of all these things that we do: the Word of God, fellowship, prayer, breaking of bread, and being together doing things. We need to draw close to each other, closer than ever before, especially when the message here today is for us to stay apart. We obey God's word, and then God is going to add to the church. When we not only draw near to the Holy Spirit, not only do we draw near to each other, when we draw near to those that need the Lord, that we will go and reach out to them and show them the love of God and get them to encounter God and experience God's love. It's only possible when we draw close. And when you're close enough, you can't help but hear their heart. They are longing for answers. They are desperate to know why and what to do. It's only when you draw near. I want to pray with you this morning. I pray that these new normals or new constants, that they will be the main things for you in this church. You have so many different departments and different ministries here that causes blessings to come. When connection takes place, you will receive. Would you stand with me, please, as I pray for you? Would you stretch out a hand towards God as we pray? Father, I thank you again this morning that you showed us your heart, that you desire communion, koinonia, fellowship. And so that's why you send the promise, the Holy Spirit, to us, so that we can always have communion with you, O God. Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought us together to be a part of this holy assembly, the church, that we can do the one another's, that we connect with each other, that we have fellowship, koinonia, with each other, that you also commission us to draw near to others that are not yet in your kingdom, that in there we can see the miraculous happen, we can see the transformation takes place, that we can bring more as you will add to the church. So God, we pray that as we receive this, that we will also practice this, Lord. That God, we will always remember that we're connected. Thank you, Jesus, that this church is blessed, a house of a people that are well connected. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you.
I
Come on, give the Lord a good praise in this place today. How many of you know that's a good goal for this fall? To draw near to the Holy Spirit, to draw near to one another, and to draw near to those who need someone to explain it to them. Those three things, those are good goals right there. Amen? Let's just thank Pastor Raymond for bringing us a great word today. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Li Ming. For our final act of worship today, we want to sow a seed into the School of Acts. And this is what the Lord put in my heart last night. They were closed for all of 2020. They've been closed for all of 2021. And I want to be the first church to sow a seed into the class of 2022. I don't know. I just think something happens in heaven when you're the first one to sow a seed and to a first fruit. Amen. To sow a seed into a venture. I asked Pastor Raymond. I said, how much they bring students from all across Southeast Asia. Many of them come from countries or situations where they cannot afford to travel internationally and do 6 months of school. In fact, Pastor Raymond was saying for a lot of these young adults who come, when they quit their positions in their home countries, once you've quit, it's a job you can't go back to. And so they're really trusting God and leaving their boats and leaving their nets and coming to prepare for ministry. I said, Raymond, how much does it cost to sponsor a student for 6 months at the School of Acts? And I was amazed at the price. $1,700, $1,700 will scholarship a student for 6 months at the School of Acts. How many of you know that's a bargain right there? The Chinese, they're very clever. So they feed them lots of rice, I think. So my daughter goes to Oral Roberts University. 4 months cost $20,000. So I think 6 months for $1,700 is a bargain. And this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to see how many students we can scholarship for the class of 2022 at the School of Acts. Some of you might be able to sponsor a student on your own for $1,700. Not all of us can do that, but whatever you can do, if it's 50 or 100 or whatever you can do, we're going to put it all together and we're going to see how many young men and young women we can scholarship for ministry in the next year. The world is waiting. In your program, there's an extra offering envelope that we put in today. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward to bring an offering. Some of you have seen how we do that here. Now, when it's not COVID time, I usually encourage you to touch the man and woman of God and let them touch you, because I literally believe that there's a transfer of the anointing that happens. But because of COVID, we're not going to touch today, okay? So Pastor Raymond said, COVID is not an offering I want to take home to Malaysia. So in just a moment, we're going to invite you to bring an offering. And I want you to just give a holy wave. This is biblical. The Bible says, greet one another with a holy wave. So I want you to just give a holy wave and greet Pastor Raymond and Pastor Li Ming. Leave your offering, and then you can go downstairs. We set aside donuts so that the greedy first service would not eat all of them. There's delicious donuts, coffee, tea. We'd love to meet you downstairs. Ushers, can we come and bring some offering plates here? And we want to invite you to come bring your offerings. And after you've given, you can be dismissed. Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the communion, the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you while you come. God bless you, everybody. See you downstairs.